I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I show Bob how to run the recorder?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go to board work session. Anybody has anything to bring up in board work session?
I just have a quick question. Those committees we were assigned to, can we get schedules of when the meetings are? Because I know like I'm on that athletic one and I don't think they send out meetings, but I don't know when it's held. So if we could do that, it'd be great. Thanks.
Anything else? I guess that takes us right down to superintendent's report.
Five questions that we talked about, and I'm primarily targeted towards facilities. And we started out with, do we have a need, and so on. And the last question was, where would you build it if you wanted to build something? Okay. We've talked about our levies. We know we need something 18-19 by then. So you have to start talking now to prepare for that. If you're going to do facilities, you have to start talking now. So all these questions we're driving to, if you notice, we were spinning in circles. We kept going around and around and around, and some of you were getting frustrated with it, as I was. What it comes down to is the need for strategic planning. And we're going to get into that in a second, but we're going to do just a real quick exercise. It's not some lame exercise. It's something to show us that why we need to get on the same page. And what you're going to see as Todd flips through these are nine questions that I just want you to independently write down on the paper you have there. Just number it, number one, and put your answer. Okay?
One answer per sheet.
Yeah, one answer per sheet. And then we'll pick them up, and then Todd will take them, and then we'll go back and recap those questions. And Todd will read through those and see, are we on the same page, or are we all over the place? Now, you've got four people that have worked together for several years now. You'd think we'd all be on the same page. Okay? We'll see.
The answers are anonymous.
Yeah. Okay. No discussion. So we're going to walk through this before we go into this.
I was signing mine with your name anyway.
Okay. Let's go to the first question. When you think of Madison Plains local schools, what comes to mind? There are no wrong answers.
Can you read mine?
Just a lack of
them. Let's hope so. Name that too. Oh,
sure,
I'm sorry.
Hey, let's put the game. What's the best aspect of Madison Plains?
Better be anonymous at this point.
There you go. I'll write my name on mine if you want.
Yeah,
I don't
care.
If three out of five are the superintendent, then we're going to throw this away.
Just qualify.
Dang it.
Just qualifiers.
We'll start over.
Right. Oh, crap. Just an FYI, the administration did this same thing about 3 years ago. I still have those answers. So it's kind of not for tonight, but it's interesting. Let's go to the next one. What would you like to see different about Madison Plains? Give at least two ideas.
Wish I could spell.
I
You don't discount for spelling?
No. As long as I can read it. Madison Plains offer more academic programs.
Is this a yes or no?
Yeah.
50-50, Bob.
Man, that's a tough one.
I put yes and no.
Again, don't think beyond the question. Do we need new facilities? Yes or no, and why?
We'll go back on that comment you just made there when we're done. Okay?
Yeah. In one sentence, what would you like the reputation of Madison Plains to be 5 years from now?
I almost wrote two sentences.
I had to put and in.
Does the community support Madison Plains? Why or why not?
That's a tough question.
Sure is.
And it is because the community segmented. Part of it supports, and you have strong support.
There is no wrong or right or wrong answer.
Got to write it down, Bob. Yeah. Got to put it in words.
Yeah, you're overthinking it. Yeah. It's anonymous. Except I don't know what it says when it says it's complicated.
I
were able to decide, you by yourself, not as a board member, as a community member, I can do this, where would you build new facilities?
Number one, I'll take it. They're all in order. That'll work.
I'm not wasting paper.
Did you not follow instructions?
Well, I followed the instructions till I thought, no, that's not what we're supposed to be doing here, wasting paper.
So let's take a notepad home with you.
Holy cow.
Well, I'll get a notepad back.
With his pen collection.
Thank you.
We're recycling.
There you go.
All right, we'll
quickly flip through this. I'm going to cut into our conference. Mr. Allen. Flip back to the first question. Again, there is no right or wrong answer. When you think of Madison Plainfield Schools, what comes to mind? This speaks to current reputation based on past actions and decisions being made. Okay? And this puts good in a common spot. That's
this is kind of fun watching Todd scramble over here.
He's got it. These are all in. So what do you got for number one, Todd?
All right. For number one, when you think of Madison Plainfield Local Schools, what comes to mind? Farming school, rural school, quality education, country school out in the middle of nowhere, and large district land-wise.
Okay. Nothing wrong with any of that. A little bit varied, which is what I would expect. When I said that about you all having the same answer, it makes it easier for us, but we're automatically on the same page. Did I think that was going to happen? Absolutely not. I'm surprised that three of you had basically the same answer. That's good. So then the second, number two question.
Number two is, what is the best aspect of Madison Plains? Our kids. Education. Community supportive students, down to earth people.
Different perspectives on what's the best thing about Madison Plains. That's good. That's what I expect. Now the worst.
Okay. What is the worst aspect of Madison Plains? The size of our district. Mount Sterling negative support or lack thereof. Lack of buy-in from residents. Sports and facilities.
So again, driving to that point, the strategic planning is needed. At face value, we're not on the same page as to what are the best or worst aspects of Madison Plains, and that's okay. My point is getting to, if we're going to talk about getting the community behind us in one central vision, it's going to take a lot of work. When Mr. Allen starts to talk, you're going to find out this process, it's not magical. It's all about getting people to come together and talk and get on the same page as to what we want to get to. Okay? Let's go to the next one. What would you like to see different about Madison Plains? I knew he was going to do this about 20 minutes ago. We tried to do it electronically, but we didn't get there yet.
Here we go. What would you like to see different about Madison Plains? New facilities. More community involvement and better teachers. New schools and new sports facilities. better athletics and higher enrollment. And larger enrollment and better sports programs.
Okay. We've got things that are fairly similar. That's good. Again, you're supposed to be representative of the community we have out there, so the farther apart we are, it speaks to that.
Should MP offer more academic programs? Yes. 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 Yes, with some qualifiers. Yes. And yes.
There you go. Which drives to one of the things we're talking about is strategic planning, our planks that we're going to address.
You just did it on one page.
Yeah.
Let's just read.
I followed the instructions.
Oh, sorry.
Right.
Do we need new facilities and why? Yes. Long term, we will need a permanent solution and not modulars. Yes. Madison Plains facilities are old and outdated. Yes. Aged facilities are not up to date. And some aspects of the school are not appealing, and they are embarrassing. And yes slash no, these will not last forever. And I think this one might be the other one. No, I think that's all I have.
Okay,
that's all right. Sorry if we skipped some. That's okay. I'll see you. Next. That's an answer for 5. All right. In one sentence, what would you like the reputation of Madison Plains to be 5 years from now? Number one school in the state of Ohio. A school that offers a first-class education and spends the taxpayers' money wisely. An environment conducive to learning and quality educators. The best place to put your student for the best educational experience. And the best academic school in the county or state/state.
I think that's great. I think that is, if we asked every school board in the state of Ohio, that's probably the answer they'd get. That's good. That's it.
Does the community support Madison Plains? Why or why not? Yes, the community supports the students, not necessarily the administration, because of the history between the old administration and Mount Sterling. Yes, slash no, they support the kids at the time, but do not support the future. Depends. Why? The community supports Madison Plains, but they will often put their own personal interests first. Our community does, for the most part, support the schools. There are segments of the MP community that dwells on the past. And yes, look at the support at the extracurricular events.
So one thing that's coming through there loud and clear is the past is kind of
holding us back. I think that's pretty clear.
Finally. If you were able to decide, where would you build new facilities? Right here. Our current location. Right where the current elementary school is. Our current site. Our current location for the junior high and high school, Mount Sterling for the elementary school.
Okay. And that's what I truly would expect of a mix of answers based on the cross segment of the population in our community. That's what you'd get. Was that our last question?
That was good.
That's the last question.
Yes.
Again, this exercise is for us to see that what we're trying to do is very complicated, yet it's simple. We're trying to get consensus amongst a large geographical area, folks that are spread out, have different cultures within their communities. That's how big we are. And getting them to coalesce behind one vision. Strategic planning is going to help us form that vision for who we want to be. Now, you've been here longer than I have, certainly. You've all been here much longer. I'm not aware of a strategic planning process that we've had here to envision not just are we going to build buildings and where, but are we going to have academic programming increases? Are we happy staying where we're at and what we're doing now just improve it? All those types of things roll into this, so we have some visioning. Again, I was pressed hard by a community member, what's my vision? What do you want? That's important. I have to have one. But the community has to have a vision that they'll coalesce around, or it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what you say. So strategic planning is going to give us that opportunity to build that consensus. Prior to having to go out and say we have to build facilities or we need a levy, you do it prior to, so people don't feel like you got a proverbial gun to their head to make a decision. They get to help decide who we want to be, and then that drives what you have to do to be that. Okay? That's a long way to get there, but I think it's important for us to go through that exercise to see that we're somewhat close, but we're still somewhat far apart, just like this room. Next up, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Steve Allen. Some of you know him. He was the superintendent in London for quite a while, superintendent at Grandview. He works for the Madison-Champaign ESC now, doing various duties, grant writing, strategic planning, things like that. As I was going through the process of thinking, who would I want to help us through this process? And again, I'm a firm believer in this process you need an external facilitator. Because if I facilitate, it looks like I can manipulate, and I don't want that. We go through this process, we need some independence. Who would we want? Well, I know a lot of companies, a lot of resources out there. My school boards can provide you these services. I was at a superintendent's meeting and Steve stood up and he said, I'm just reminding everybody, we provide these services, I do strategic planning. And I'm like, okay. This is a guy that, although he wasn't Madison Plains, he was Madison County. He knows this county very well. Okay? He knows our population. So I felt this would be a great partnership for us to have somebody that knows our area. He did work in London. Some of you may not like that, so please don't hold it against Steve. I think he's going to do a good job for us, and I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Steve Allen now, and I'll show you.
Thank you, Tim.
Sure.
And to jump right off of that, my wife and I raised two kids in Madison County for 24 years, and we actually just moved this past summer. Grandkids now live in the Columbus area, so Grandma wants to be close to grandkids. That's what she wants. That's what she gets. Just a little bit about me, folks. I started in education back in the early 70s. I don't know if you know Dresden, Ohio. I graduated from high school there at Tri-Valley and was drafted into the Army right out of high school in the first lottery that they had for Vietnam, and I ended up in the infantry. So things didn't go well for me, but here I am. So I guess in that respect, it went very well for me. And then I used the GI Bill. I am the third of eight kids, raised in an orphanage, though, for 11 years. So I had no silver spoon in my mouth. My first recollection of life was in the projects in Zanesville, Ohio. Truly, the projects on Schenick Circle Metropolitan Housing, and went from there to the orphanage at the age of 4 and was there for 11 years. And fortunately, was able to get out of there. Went into education because I know that education is the key to getting to actualizing anyone's dream. It gives people hope, and without hope, life is really meaningless. And that's what you are really all about as a board. If you can improve this district just that much, then each child and every person in this district has that much more hope. And it's not just a pipe dream. It's a way to actually actualize what they want out of life. And so your jobs are extremely important. But, finish this sentence. If we fail to plan, we
plan to fail.
Yeah. And so, does anyone know the last time there was a long-term plan for the district?
I'm going to say it was about 6 years ago.
6 years ago.
Closest we have is the 10-year financial plan.
And was it followed? Was it pulled out annually and reviewed and made sure people were doing exactly what the plan said they were going to do?
Well, it was for a short time, and then everything kind of.
Yeah. But that's a good thing. At least you had it. But that's also often what happens to every company, and not every company, but too many companies, too many organizations. Will do these processes, they'll have a nice little binder, and then they put it on the shelf, and it collects dust. It's your responsibility. If we go through this process, it's your responsibility to make it a living, breathing document. If we go through this and come up with a great plan, and you do nothing with it, it is your fault. It really is, because there's no one else who can hold the district accountable, but you five right there, you five. The nice thing about this is, once those goals are delineated, we'll have strategies under each one, and we'll know exactly who's responsible for carrying out each of those strategies so that that goal is met. We'll have a timeline for when they're to do those things, and they should be reporting back to you about the progress they're making toward those timelines. And if I were you, I'd actually make that their evaluation. Because if we say these 3-4 goals are the most important things for Madison Plains to accomplish, then why wouldn't we hold them accountable for accomplishing them? We don't want to say, this is the most important thing for you to do, but we're going to evaluate you on these things. That doesn't make sense. So I learned this process back about 1990, so I've figured up as I'm sitting here, that's like 26 years ago already. From Cambridge Management, if any of you want to look up Cambridge Management, Bill Cook was the founder of Cambridge Management, and this process is supposed to take 2.5 days. Full 2.5 days. But what I've been able to do, because nobody wants to do 2.5, solid days, like 8-10 hours a day. No one wants to do that. So I've gotten it down to about 8 hours, and it works. I've done that with over 10 organizations, schools, half of them were schools, and the other half were civic and business organizations. And it really seems to work very, very well. So the other nice thing about this planning process is it brings the diverse people of your community together, and they have meaningful dialogue about what they think is important. And then, the way this process is structured, every single decision made by the group will be made by consensus, not by voting. Because when you vote, there are those who win, but there are those who lose. So you don't want people walking away from this feeling like they've lost.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Absolutely.
And this is for the board, 5 people sitting at this table. If we're going to do this, you have to buy in right now. Because what happened 6 years ago, we all bought in, and the administration
And I've talked this before, whatever the flavor of the month is, that's how things got twisted and we lost our way on that last one. Unfortunately, when we brought the 10-year plan in, we all bought into that. Mm-hmm. We're going to do this and do it correctly the way he's going to teach us. We all have to buy into it. Mm-hmm.
I would say you're right, except I'd have him complete it and then make your decision on the buy-in. Because you've heard some of it, but you got to hear the rest of what he's going to talk about. And then once Steve concluded his presentation, that's when we say, okay, is this what we want to do? But I agree with you, that has to happen tonight. There has to be buy-in. But the timing is...
Because that's what Madison Plains' biggest problem has always been, is it's the flavor of the month. Mm-hmm. We got to stop that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. Flavor of the month is the trend is yours, is another way to put it. As soon as something else comes mm-hmm. down the pipe, everyone, man, that sounds good, let's do that. Mm-hmm. Well, no. We have a plan, we're sticking to the plan. Now, what you should do is visit that plan every year to 18 months and say, okay, here's where we are. Here's the conditions we see them, as we see them in the community. Is the plan still relevant? Because things can change pretty darn drastically. And if they change that much, you need to say, whoa, this plan needs to be put aside, or we need to modify it, we need to meet again, we need to go through it and change it because conditions are now different. But people don't do that. They just say, well, let's do this instead. And you're absolutely right. So,
I'm sorry, can I make one comment here?
Sure.
And I just want to say something about the flavor of the month. And I don't disagree, because I agree with what you're saying. I just think that if we put together this plan with his help, because inevitably what happens is a fire arises somewhere and we shift directions and we change what we're looking at right at that moment, is we need to have some type of guidelines in place that any decision we make from here on out has to support the plan. So whether it's something that arises at school that we have to, you know, as a board, we have to be able to sit down and say, I know we handled it this way, but did we handle that according to our plan? And as long as I think we're doing that and we can communicate that to the public, then we should be able to be all together that we are, you know, doing it the right way.
This is not new to you guys. This, the four of you, and Mark probably will too, but the four of you have done this in regards to the 10-year financial plan. You notice our financial decisions are based off a plan that was approved 3 years ago. So you don't have a problem with commitment. Steve and I talked about that. I said this board will support and will hold people accountable for anything that they adopt. The Madison Plains Improvement Plan, internally we're doing that. So
my point to what you were saying is I just think we need to make sure that we publicly tell people that when we fight a fire or we do something else, that we're doing it a certain way to support our strategic plan.
I just want to make sure we're all right, on board. Right. We stayed with that plan. You know, before we made some plans, until the 10-year forecast came, that's the one thing we've grasped and tried to hang on to. Every time somebody came up with, mm-hmm. This is a better way of doing it, it always changed.
I'm liking this group already because you are right where you ought to be with those thoughts. You're right on. And that is that when somebody comes and says, you ought to be doing this, the answer should be, excuse me, we had a community group come together, went through a process. We decided what our priorities are. We decided this is what we're going to attack. And so this is where our focus is. And because if you let them, you will be trying to do 100 things mm-hmm. and improve the district mm-hmm. on 100 different items, and nothing really gets addressed significantly. The first district that I went through this with was Rocky River, very wealthy up by Cleveland. And when I first got there, they had 11 goals. 11. And under each one were a multitude of strategies. It's like nobody can do that. So what we did was we made incremental progress on 11 different things. So at the end of 5 years, we were that much further ahead. Come on, who wants to do that? We want to make significant progress on the most important things facing the district. So I'm going to hold you to no more than 5 and hopefully just 3. Because then you have focus, and it's laser focus. These are the most important things for the district to attack, and here's how we're going to do it. You decide all that. All I have is the process on how to make those decisions. You make the decisions. I don't make any decisions other than the process is mine. So you're going to follow my process, and I'm going to tell you over and over again, because at first it won't make a whole lot of sense, and I'll just say trust the process. This is really time-tested over thousands of organizations, and it works extremely well. I've had many people come back and tell me, boy, it's the best thing we've ever gone through. But in the end, it's not worth anything if you don't do exactly what you guys just said, and that is follow it, stick to it, you know, revisit it, and reconstitute it if the conditions are really different. But, okay, I passed out the outline. This is exactly how we're going to go through it. So when we get everyone together, Tim's telling me we're going to have about 20 community people, whatever you decide. But I'd like for you to decide tonight, because I need to prepare, if we go ahead, I need to prepare for a certain number of people. So what we'll do that, and I'm guessing, as Tim said, it's awful hard to get people to come together on an all day. I've had a few groups do all day. I had a couple of them go to, well, they were so wealthy, they went to a country club, and then we started at 8 a.m., and we were done like 4 p.m., and we ate, took breaks, and it was a beautiful setting, golf course, right outside, and we slammed through it. But there was only like 12 of them, and so we could do that in a place like that. But when there's 20, it's a whole lot more difficult to get through an 8-hour day, because people just can't commit to 8 hours sometimes. We could do it on a Saturday if you wanted to do that, or President's Day is coming up. We could use a President's Day, for example. But so think about that. The other way, that the one that's most popular, is 3 sessions, 2.5 hours. We usually start at 5:30 or 6, and we wrap up no later than 8. So that seems to work. My concern with that one is we get people who say, yes, I'm on board, but I can only make one meeting. Well, we need consistency, because it is a process, and it's a building process. If they're not there for the ground rules, they may come in the second session and start doing things opposed to the ground rules. Now, I'll review them each time, but just quickly. And if they're not part of understanding why we're doing it a certain way, it kind of bogs down the system and makes it a little more difficult. That doesn't mean I can't do it. But prep, I guess when you're selecting people, at least have them fully commit to at least 2 out of the 3, if not all 3. Obviously, the 100% participation in all 3 would be ideal. So think about that. Okay. So we do the ground rules, and this is a way of setting the tone for how we're going to do things. You do the ground rules, and we do them by consensus. But it also, by going through the process of selecting ground rules, we start learning the process. The process is simple. Everyone works at their own desk by themselves, writing a few things down. Then we break up into small groups, and the small groups work together and come to consensus in a small group. Then those small groups come back to the large group, and then the large group reports out. Maybe there's 4 groups or 5 groups, and we report out, and then we discuss, and we all come to consensus. Consensus, by definition, is when everyone can live with it. Not that it's the best thing in the world, but I can live with that. That's consensus. So let me go ahead and walk through my little outline here. Obviously, strategic planning, a lot of people get a little off because they think, oh, strategic. Well, it's no big deal. It's long-range planning. That's all it is. It's just long-range planning. There's no magic about that. So we do the ground rules. Strengths of Madison Plains. Challenges. I don't say weaknesses. Challenges of Madison Plains. We want to be able to list and agree on values of the organization. You talked earlier of something that made me think of values. When you hire people, you're going to hire people that match these values. Because if these are the values you want, you better hire people that have those values to the best that you can discern them. You know, a superintendent, a treasurer to start with, if they don't have them, you're done. But if you say these are the things we value, then everything you do has to be predicated on those. And then from the values, we have about three belief statements. These are the things we strongly believe in as an organization, and our decisions are driven by those things we believe. And of course, we'll have a mission statement. It will be one sentence, two parts, one sentence. It'll probably be a compound, complex sentence, but it'll be one sentence, not a laundry list. And then we'll have goals, 3 to 5 goals, hopefully not more. Well, we won't have more than 5. I will not let you have more than 5, but 3 or 4 would be better. And again, consensus. So it's widespread agreement, and you know, it's my job to try to get us to consensus by getting people to talk, getting people to compromise, change wording a little bit. Can you live with that, or does this sound better? And sometimes, yes, we're going to get bogged down in language, but that's just the way it is. Because you want people to walk out of here saying, I can do that, I can support that, I feel good about that. Everyone should walk out of here feeling that way when it's done. So we'll have the ground rules, the challenges, etc. I wanted to, you've probably all, in some organizations, seen SMART goals. We're going to hold you to SMART goals, because it's smart to do that. But you can't have just real ambiguous goals, and a lot of organizations do. And then years down the road, people are like, what did they mean by that? Well, we're not going to have that. They're going to know 10 years from now if they read that. They're going to know exactly what that goal means.
Our academic improvement plan is based on the SMART goals, and you've seen that before.
And actually, that academic improvement plan, the CCIP, actually borrowed this template from this one that we actually are going to use was borrowed by the state of Ohio from Cambridge Management. So I think that's kind of a compliment to Cambridge Management. So that's where we are. When you're done, I will send to Tim an electronic version of the final everything. I won't give him ground rules because you won't need to keep the ground rules after that. But you will have a list of your strengths, your weaknesses, your values, your belief statements, your mission statement, every goal, every strategy, and who's responsible for it, when you think they ought to be done, and evidence. You will list evidence of how you know progress is being made so that there's no hidden agenda here. You're going to say so-and-so, you're going to do this strategy, and we'll know when it's done because we'll see this, this, and this. So it's right up front. It's all spelled out. It's that simple. And it's a fun process to go through, actually. It can be exhausting, but it feels good when you're done. Questions, please.
Steve, what level of detail do you see other schools doing in their SMART goals? And what I mean by that is, do you see as specific as one of our SMART goals is we want to be out of deficit spending within 3 years, or is it a much higher, you know, we want to have financial stability for the next 10 years? I mean, what do you see?
Financial stability in the next 10 years is too ambiguous.
Okay.
So actually, being out of deficit spending, everyone knows what that means. Within how many years, that is a good SMART goal.
So the people that we have, the 20, 40, whatever our number is, or 12, whatever, where are these people coming from?
Well, and that's the next question, I guess.
Oh, then. Okay.
And we talk 20 to 25, depending on what we think would give us a good representation of the community. Because, again, we want to walk away from this saying we involve the community in this process.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that we go out and find everybody who thinks a massive supporter of Madison Plains. We want to get a cross-section of folks that have different opinions, so when they come in and we do get to consensus, it's valid. So, you know, some of the folks that I think that should be involved in general, you know, ministers, farmers, businessmen, politicians from the community, your senior citizens, student parents, administration, and your teachers. So those are the general areas I think we should pull from. next step is that if there's other groups we need to add to this that you want, then we start figuring out, okay, from each group, how many are we going to have so we stay within that manageable number? And I would seek from you, okay, if we're going to have, for example, two ministers, I'd look to you for feedback on who do you think within the community is, are ministers that we value their opinion, level-headed, come in and give good input. So, I mean, that's how I see us developing the list of folks. What Steve is looking for tonight is, are we going to have 10 or are we going to have 25?
Does the board make up a portion of the 20 or 25, or is it 20 or 25 in addition to the board?
You've seen board members on, correct?
Yes. I've seen every board member on it. I've seen two or three board members on it.
Are we part of that group? Do we facilitate the group?
We're part of it.
We're part of
it. You do not facilitate. You don't want to facilitate.
That was the wrong word, yeah, I think. But I didn't want to say tools of the group to gather and report
out. You're just another member of the group. That's it. You're on the same level as if you had students in. You'd be the same level as a freshman.
My comment to that would be that I'd like to see all five of us on. I think we need to be on that to make sure that whatever goals comes in, we all hear it the same, we all learn it the same way, and we all know which direction to go in.
And it's not a violation of the Sunshine Law for you to do that, because you're not voting on anything. Mm-hmm. You're receiving information, it's a work session, so that's not an issue.
Has that ever been challenged at all?
No, not to my knowledge. But even if you wanted to, go ahead and publicize it.
Yeah.
Except
you get more people
you
there.
You can't have people coming in that aren't part of the group. If they want to come in and sit very quietly and not say a word in the corner, I guess I wouldn't be opposed to that. That's up to you.
Sure.
But my concern would be that it's rare that someone's going to sit there for 2.5 hours and not try to influence the decisions, and they're not part of the group. So if they want to do that badly, and if you want them, then make them part of the group. But if they're not, they really, if they're here, they need to be absolutely silent.
I don't have any heartburn with that. I mean, if we could make it public and people could come sit.
I'd feel more comfortable making it public.
I mean,
is it something you're doing in an executive session for? You could invite the members of the planning committee into executive session, or is that something that?
Well, no, because it's not a
violation there.
It's not a
well, that's what I'm just yeah. throwing it out.
Yeah,
I'm
no.
sure.
There wouldn't be a violation of Sunshine Law. First of all, because
yeah.
you're not taking any action of any kind. You can have a discussion with, it's no different than if you guys go to a football game, you all have a football game together. We're discussing school business, but you're not taking any action from it. So even if you were to have a challenge in court, the worst case scenario from Sunshine Law is the action you took is thrown out. So you're not taking any action. What's recommended from this group will come to me, and I'm presenting to the board at a formal board meeting at a later date. And that's
Tim,
what
I think as far as going to executive session, everything in executive session would be a violation.
I agree. That's why I said
no,
we're not doing
just
that.
But when I first got on, we went to the Ohio School Board. They said if three of you together, technically you're supposed to call in a meeting. As what they told us back in the Boardsmanship 101, technically if three of you together discussing something, you should call in as a meeting. If nothing else, if we just have a work meeting or a special meeting like we're doing now, we're not doing anything. If they want to come sit, we can have a section off in the back for them to sit in, but they can't talk, and they have to sign off and say, I can't talk.
It's all logistical.
That's
I don't see a problem with five of us being here and making a problem.
I don't either. That's my point. I don't think we're...
No.
And we can set the ground rules as far as them not being involved. I mean, we don't let them just talk whenever they want in the regular meetings.
Right.
Well, I'm somewhat opposed to having people outside the group because you try to keep... Try to keep me from speaking.
Right.
Well, we'll put you in the group.
No, I'm just saying.
I just don't.
I go to these meetings, and
I just don't know how if there's three of us there, I wouldn't want to potentially challenge. I don't think it's a fair reading of the rule. We could do it that way. That's just my thought. You know, I think we have to make a meeting if there's three of us there.
And technically, wouldn't it all fall under board work session?
Yes.
So we could bring anybody we want in on board work session.
Right. We can do that. That's the easy stuff, to be quite honest. And I wouldn't allow us to do something that's not within, you know, the law.
Right.
I can just tell you, I've been through this process three different times. We had the board members there each time. It was Saturday all day long. We publicized that we were going to have the strategic planning process. It wasn't a meeting. And I was in a community that had their eyes on us constantly. So, again, that's easy enough. We'll do whatever makes satisfies the board, I don't think that's an issue. More importantly is who's going to be at that meeting. And I'm not trying to drive us there, but I think we need to kind of, that's going to help Steve. I'll make sure the logistics are okay.
The point of having the five board members there, these are not board meetings. Okay, these are strategic planning meetings, and they shouldn't be viewed as board meetings. So just take out board work sessions or executive sessions or anything else. These are not board meetings.
So what have you seen work best with when you talk about the numbers of people? You said 12, and then we say 40, then 25.
12 was, I think, the smallest group I've ever done.
Okay.
And that's not good.
No.
Anywhere from at least 15, and with a community of this size, probably 20.
Yeah, I would go along with the larger number because our community is so widespread, so diverse, that we need more.
Between the board and the admin that I recommend there, we've got 9 to start out with. So.
Okay, well, scratch 2 of the admin people.
So, is 30 or 30 too big?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just trying to, 25 is a good number.
If we're going to meet here, which I'm guessing we would, we'd end up with a U-shape with everyone on the outside of the U. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be comfortable because we're going to be sitting there we'll be moving around some, but 2.5 hours. And then we'll be breaking out into small groups of 5 or 6 in a group.
Right.
And so you're limited by your space. You don't want people uncomfortable because that doesn't make for the best.
Right.
They really need to feel comfortable so they can focus on why they're here instead of being uncomfortable. That's also tempered by you want a good cross-section of your community. That's your challenge because having lived in Madison County all of these years, I understand how diverse this district is. That's a challenge. You have to do this or you'll never get where you want to go.
Okay.
How many townships do we actually have running through the district?
I was trying to think that too.
Right? Yeah, Mark would know quicker.
So
he just went through it.
If you go with that and you go one trustee from each township, then you're automatically already up to 17.
I think it has to be a trustee necessarily, does it? It could be one of the people on the list that happens to be from each of those.
Make sure we get coverage from each township.
Here's what I just wrote down. If you had one minister, 2 farmers, 2 businessmen, 2 politicians, 2 senior citizens, 2 student parents, 3 administrators, 5 board members, and 2 employees. You're at 21.
Okay, but I don't want to add more to the ministers.
Do you?
Just because we have such
students?
In my honest opinion, you need 3 ministers to cover the whole district.
So why wouldn't we add 2 seniors or students of what? I don't know.
I wouldn't make them seniors because they're almost out of here.
So
it'd be a sophomore or junior maybe.
Okay. I mean, I like to see what the kids, their views are a lot different. I'd like to see a couple of students. I don't know what you guys think of that. I'm not saying that's what we have to do. I'm just throwing that out there.
Every place is different.
That's 24 if we went to 2 ministers and 2 students.
Hard part is to start getting people that want to show up and do it. I mean, you can say all you want. I want one person from each township, but
you know, well, here's what when he said that, when something I was thinking, why couldn't we take all the mayors and all the trustees, put them in a bag, have somebody draw out, and we draw 2 names.
Here's the problem with that, and I will speak from experience. You can draw the mayor's name out of the bag and that mayor will never show up to your meeting. Just being honest.
But I'm saying that's the best way to do it. That way it's not that we picked, Mount Sterling.
Or could we ask them, the mayors, to give us a handful of people that they would like to see chosen, pick one person from this list of 5
us
people.
Us 5 people, no, enough people in this community that are responsible, that we can select individuals that would show up
I think so.
And give us intelligent feedback.
Well, I agree with you on that, Bob, but I was just trying to, what are we going to do about the politicians on that? How are you going to make that?
I don't need politicians on that. I don't need X number of ministers.
Well,
you don't have to do that. You can go out and you could select the township trustee that would be the politician and the farmer.
Yes, you can.
And maybe the
for God's sakes, I can do that. And they would show up.
One of the things I'll throw out to you, too, is that there are, in your community, and you know them, there are informal leaders. There are opinion makers that have no position, but they'll sit at the local restaurant or at Burger King or wherever it is, and they'll always have people around them, and they'll be talking, and they'll be spreading whatever they think, and people will come to them for, you know, just to complain or for advice. You know who those people are. And if you don't win them over in the direction you're going, you will never be successful.
You want us to give you a list of four people each? That's 20 people that we'd be able to give you. Mm-hmm. And then you just cross out if none of us will talk. If we accidentally get the same people, then we'll fill them out.
I would like for you to give me those. I'll summarize them, then I'll feed them back to you guys. Say, here's the list of folks that we've gotten so far. I'll add some. You know, I'll solicit my administration for, you know, folks they know. And then we'll put together a nice list there. And from those, we'll say, okay, let's get 20 of those.
Narrow it down.
The mover and shakers.
Yeah, so we each could be five. Good cross-section, I think, of the district.
Yeah, I think we are.
Right. And get commitments that they, I mean, really try to get them to commit to come to all three sessions. Now, best scenario is you walk out of here tonight knowing what those dates are.
Yeah, so I was going to say, if we're going to start thinking of people engaging their interests, we need to know what we're asking them.
Is that how we want to do it, those three segments? Or are we going to try to do one, knock it all out, or how you want to do it?
I'm indifferent to that. Either one's fine with me.
I'm okay with either one.
It doesn't matter to me. I look at it, and sometimes you go through one big meeting, you get it done. But sometimes it's better to segment it and you
have
get time to chew on what you've talked about and come back.
We'll do it.
But your participation is better if you do it in one day.
You guys know how at least one impact is held for the time it is to keep people focused because they're tired. If you go beyond that time period, they're done. And so, if you're on an 8-hour or a long session, that has got to be a weekend, so they're fresh.
We can't go to
or day off.
Todd's not paying for a country club, right? This is it. So maybe we do 3 2-hour sessions, whatever, 2.5-hour sessions. Because you're gonna have people that work and people that don't.
I'm good with 3 sessions.
Yeah, that's fine.
Me too.
I think at least the folks that we know coming to our meetings have appreciated that for shorter meetings.
What in the past is we've done, most of them have been 3 2.5-hour sessions. You'll feed them. So they'll walk in, they'll grab something to eat, and they'll sit down, and we'll start working while they're eating. And they can come and go getting food while we're working. We can't waste time.
All right, so I know you talked about people not going away feeling like a loser, you know, when they walk away. So if you have 3 meetings and a person, say, doesn't attend one, and a decision's made by the group at a consensus, and they come back, and they don't agree with what happened, is there some way in the ground rules you set that if you're not at a meeting and a decision's made, you're by default okay with that?
Because, well, you know, the expression I use, one of the expressions I use is silence means consent. Well, if you're not here, you're awfully silent.
Right. I just think that needs to be part of the ground. Yeah.
So when I review that piece of it, silence means consent. When I review that, I touch on that exactly.
Okay.
Because you're silent by your absence. And we want you here every time. And if you want your opinion heard, you have to be here. And if you're not, hey, you forfeit the opportunity to oppose it. That's just the way it is. We've got to have rules, or otherwise nothing will ever get done. My job is to walk you through the process and keep you on task and on time and moving forward and getting things done. And I can do that.
I would ask, as you develop your list of 5 that you'll send to me, try to avoid having everybody with the same thought, the same opinion. Get a cross-section and, you know, if somebody is out there and they in no way, shape, ever will support building new facilities. Don't strike them off the list just because we've talked about building new facilities. Mm-hmm. We value that too. Why is that? Because that's going to answer a lot of questions through this process for us.
Here, I'll give you four names.
Jeez.
Thanks, Bob. So, everybody's going to send me five names. I'm going to summarize those, get any others that we get.
Five names?
Oh, you need five names now?
Oh, give us those facts.
Give that back to me.
I don't know, Bob.
I thought you said four.
That's what I heard, too.
I wrote down five.
Five.
I'm going to send you mine tomorrow because I want to make sure I do what you just said. I want to make sure I get, I know who's for it, who's against it.
Right.
And I want
to. But I think that's, in, to
I,
me, that's
I don't care
key.
What their opinion is. I just want dependable people that are community leaders that will show up.
But here's one of my concerns with the five of us that are sitting here, and Mark, I guess you're the closest one to Mount Sterling of any of us.
I live in Mount Sterling.
Well, I know, but I mean, how do we make sure we get somebody that is a longtime hater of what we've been doing around here to be part of this and to show up? I mean, who's
going
to?
Don't worry,
I already got
three names.
I'm already going to talk about. This is easy.
I mean, I'll probably have to sit and make sure we don't have the same name.
Okay,
but I've already thought of three people from that area on the invite.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, I think that's key. I mean, as you sit there and think about, I mean, I think about all the same people that come and knock on my door every year that want me to sign petitions for them to run for, you know, township trustee or whatever. And you think of all these people, but you also see all the names in the paper of the people that write the editorials and bash the school about this, that, and the other. I mean, where's that guy? Where's David Timmons at on this list? Because notoriously, he's always bashed the school. But
Mike, I guarantee you walk out of this room, you're going to be able to sit and think, and there's going to be somebody hits you at the fair.
Oh,
and
I know.
You're going to go, man, that'd be the perfect person right there, because I want to see what he's got to say. Trust me.
I know. It's just sometimes it's hard to think right in the...
Like, they're all voting in the district, but what if they live in the district and their kids go to a different school? What if they open enroll? Was that kind of person that you want? Or do you want someone
I don't think that matters.
That's up to you.
Well, it just matters for my thought process, Bob. Just for a second.
No, I mean, I don't think it matters if your kids go to Madison Plains or if they have kids in the district or kids
are influential in the district. Like, the preacher at my church, the Nazarene Church, actually lives in Miami Trace School District. But, I mean, I think he'd have a lot to bring to the table.
I mean, I want to get someone who lives in the Madison Plains district that has a vested interest in it, but their kids might not go here, right? So
but like a minister like that, he's involved in the community and very influential in the community.
I don't think it matters that they have children. Either.
Oh, no.
Because I look at it and go, I have a person on my list that I know doesn't have children, but she went to the school.
Sure.
And would be a good candidate for the committee.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. See if they would commit to three meetings, 2.5 hours here at the high school during the week at some point.
Right. But I wouldn't reach out to anybody.
Yeah, we'd put the list together.
Okay. We put the list together, and then we'll come to consensus on who we want from that list. And then
if they can't do it, we just go down the list.
I mean, for us to contact them, and I think we put the list together, let Tim contact them. Are you willing to commit? I'm not talking to any of these people in advance. I don't even want to know what their opinion is. I think they would be good people and intelligent.
Okay.
Sounds good. Are we going to do this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, to be clear, we've got nine already starting out, or we've got eight starting out. So we're going to add an additional.
Okay. We may have to cut a couple more administrators.
So the eight are
down to three.
Those two, and who's the other administrator?
So when do you typically want to start?
Oh, you can pick
one.
He's going to pick another one.
How soon is something that, I mean...
Oh, no, gotcha.
So maybe.
How much time do I need to prep?
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm...
I could be ready next week.
Okay.
Here's the challenge, is a matter of information we want to provide to the members of the committee in advance of our first meeting.
What you want are people that, if Tim and the treasurer have a packet of things that they think are important for people to have read through so that they actually come to the meeting with knowledge instead of rumors, and they can come with rumors also,
Because you want them to come with rumors, but you also want them to come with knowledge. And so at least read it before you come to the meeting. We'll have it here at the meeting in case someone says, well, I thought I read. Well, we'll look it up and see what the fact is. So you do have to have time for them to put their pack together and then get it out to your people. But
I'm good for any day except the 15th.
15th of
February.
But, you know, I can do it any night that you want. But here's, it kind of works better if we don't drag it way out. It's not a once a week for 3 weeks. It's what has always worked best is, just as an example, and I know Friday's not going to work, but we could do a Monday, Wednesday, and a Monday, for example.
Wow.
Or a Monday, Thursday, and a Monday. So that within a 10-day period of time, we're done. Mm-hmm. So that,
I like
people
that idea.
Don't forget.
A Monday,
and,
Wednesday,
and
Monday.
It seems like once we build some momentum, we don't have to start all over again and get momentum going again.
I would suggest then that you get me the names. I summarize the 22nd, 24th, and 29th. That way it's after our board meeting. We're ready to go. We know what information's been passed out already. We've already got our people lined up. We can announce at the 16th, that board meeting, strategic planning for Madison Plains starts next week. We have 20 people lined up. That can be, probably already going to be in the paper, which is fine. But we can formalize it at that board meeting.
Mm-hmm. I think when we start talking about like the 24th or Wednesday, and if we're talking about having ministers on there, please keep in mind a lot of these churches have meetings on Wednesdays.
Well, I was going to bring up, I like your idea about the Monday, the Thursday, and the Monday. That gives them a couple days to think about what they
works
through.
Monday, Thursday.
Yeah, Monday, Thursday, and
so
22nd, 25th, 29th.
Yeah.
22nd, 25th.
What time do you want to begin?
Six.
5:30 is pushing it for most people.
Oh.
So,
and yeah,
six.
As witness my colleague today.
Start at 6, we'll be done by 8:30.
6 to 8:30.
Yeah, 6 to 8:30.
And we will be done on time. I run a timer. We will not go over.
What do you think, Bob?
How about that? I'm going to set it right here.
I'm on that.
I
put it on the screen. It has an obnoxious ring to it.
Oh, fabulous. Good.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it.
So Monday the 22nd, Thursday the 25th, and Monday the 29th from 6 to 8:30, strategic planning here.
Okay.
We'll hold
here.
It in here, correct?
This would be the most conducive for how Steve has kind of laid it out.
Okay.
We'll set these tables up in groups and then put them back into a U to come back.
Well, we'll have a U to start, and we'll leave that.
22nd to 25th.
We can set up that room over there.
Yeah. But we could have two groups meet here on one side, one leg of the U, one on the other side of the leg of the U, and then put the other two or three groups back
there.
Right. Right.
When do you want us to have our names to you by?
Let's see.
Monday.
Monday?
Is that too early?
I don't know. Is that, can
you
guys
have
your name?
Mine before I leave
Monday.
For the day.
Okay, so we'll have names to you by Monday the 25th.
Mm-hmm. I'm putting Mike on my list.
Me? No, I already got you. I got you four on mine, so I'm done. And I added Tim.
Yeah, CLT on the 29 until 5:30. That's just like a long day for somebody. Then make it long.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the. Did you check your sports calendars? And
those are the 8th or something, aren't they?
Take a quick look here and make sure it works. Okay.
What is the basketball schedule?
February.
Later February, you're getting close to the tournaments, aren't you?
What's that? Oh, the basketball tournaments?
We're expecting a long run.
That's going to be. That's going to be one. That's going to be,
Spoken from the ladies' brother.
Don't have to worry about the first day, right?
We were 2-19 my senior year, so I can joke.
No,
or?
I think somewhat.
Schedule is.
Make sure.
I can look real quick. Oh, I'm on the website.
Well, you might want to check.
I think we're going to be between our season.
What about tournaments? Would there be tournament games those evenings? Any of those? You might want to check with your athletic director to see. Even if it's the first one, if you don't, even if you, you don't want your first one to be the 25th.
Well, that's a rough draft, so you'll be able to figure that out tomorrow.
I'm looking.
Now, I agree with Dave. Last thing we need to do is, are we all agreed this is what we want to do? We'll commit to it, just like we did to the 10-year financial plan. Once we developed that and everybody said that's what we're going to do, we stuck to it and we made decisions off of that. We're doing the same thing. Sometimes that's going to be hard.
What is the cost to the district for your services?
$1,000. That's very cheap. Mm-hmm. Very cheap.
I checked.
Bit Todd proof. Because I want Todd to be mad at us.
I think the cost benefit is
yeah.
And it's already approved, isn't it? It's within my
Tim
professional
will
services
money,
budget.
Don't
so.
Right.
Yeah. So I haven't spent it all yet.
Tim will graciously donate it out of his salary.
Okay. Thank you, Dave.
Oh my God.
Yep, second.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Second. Is that what you said? Nice.
That's
yep,
nice
exactly
idea.
How that works.
It is. And Mark, that's really from the ESC, Madison Champaign ESC, so the bill, because I'm working through that. Before this year, I was doing this on my own, and then I made the mistake of talking to Dan Kaufenbarger, and he says, well, you should work through us. Mm. And I was like, okay.
That's a good question. I honestly forgot. So I'm glad you asked.
Yeah, it seems like a fair rate. I just was curious.
Yeah. Any other questions for Steve? So that concludes my discussion. Anyone else has anything? Mr. President.
We need to go to executive session, talk about the review stuff. Everybody got those, right?
Well, I got it now.
Well, I know you got it now. But,
I threw a student on there, Tim, but we probably need to talk to the parent about.
So, is there anything else to talk about before we do that? Move into executive session then? Or?
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
I'll call you, Steve.
As a, let's see, what time is it? 6:45?
Yeah, 6:46.
I move at 6:46 to enter into executive session. Oh, I move that we enter into executive session at 6:46 for the purpose of one or more of the following under Ohio Revised 121.22G. We'll use section 1 to consider the employment dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual, and also Section 5, matters required to be kept confidential by federal law or rules or state statutes.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Would you call roll, please?
Mr. Dotts?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
And afterwards, we will take no action, so the meeting will be adjourned. Thank you. Do we want to come in here? No? I think not, at least for the first part. I mean, if you guys want to go ahead and go, if there's anything.